Deuteronomy 21, verse 22. If anyone is found guilty of an offence deserving the death penalty and is executed, and you hang his body on a tree, you are not to leave his corpse on the tree overnight, but are to bury him that day. For anyone hung on a tree is under God's curse. You must not defile the land the Lord your God is giving to you as an inheritance. And now from Galatians 3, verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not continue doing everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith.
G'day everyone, good to see you here this afternoon. Good job being here on the holidays. Holidays, church never takes holidays, do we? We just keep meeting, so it's great. I'd love to pray again that God speaks to us through this passage, so let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us in your word, the Bible. We ask that you might speak to us now. We ask that we might have ears to hear, in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the end of the talk, I actually want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer to come into relationship with God. Some of you will have done that before, probably many of you will have done that before, but if today you think today is the day I need to start a relationship with God, there'll be an opportunity at the end to do that. First of all, I want to start with some participation from you guys. And so you can see this image on the screen. You've seen this before. Everyone here has seen this before. It's got a horizontal wooden bar. It's got a vertical wooden bar. People wear a symbol of this around their neck. Some people get it tattooed onto them. You see it on church buildings, not on our church so much. And this is the way that the Romans used to kill people. Have a chat to the person next to you. What does this mean? What does it mean, this thing on the screen? Chat to the person next to you, and then I'm going to ask for some answers. Just in a couple of words, just in a few short few words. Okay, who'd like to stick up their hand and give us an answer about what the cross means? Thanks, Riley.
Hope.
Great. Let's keep going. Josh. Okay, so it means that you've done something criminal in Roman society to get that. Anyone else? Don't be shy. Let's get quite a few responses if we can. Anyone else want to stick up their hand? Okay, so it's empty. Jesus is risen. Yep. Salvation? Yeah. It's good. George, was that like a hand or was that just... Okay. Death. Yep. Yeah, I think all the things that people have mentioned are right in one way or another. Should this make us happy? Should the cross make us happy or sad? Should it make us certain or uncertain? Should it make us bold or afraid? Should it make us sick or joyful? What do you think? We hear about the cross all the time, especially at church, but what does this thing actually mean? Well, today that's what we're going to be unpacking. And the first thing I want you to see from Galatians chapter 3 is that there is a curse that we live under. And we have to first understand this curse that we live under in order to understand the cross. Last week, Cameron shared about the tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and how people chose autonomy. Anyone remember what that word means? Autonomos, yeah, what does that mean? Self-law, living your own way. And that's what the first people, Adam and Eve, our first parents did. They lived their own way. They showed autonomy. They sinned in the Bible's language. And this is true not just for them, but for all people in all time. And we heard about the law last week, which is that nomos part of autonomy. And in Galatians 3:10 there in your passage, let's read about the law, what it says. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not continue doing everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Galatians 3:10. So unless we do everything that's written down in God's law, which is the Ten Commandments, they kind of summarize the whole law, but it's also just the conscience that God has put onto our hearts. Unless we do everything in that law perfectly, then we're under a curse from God. So let's try this experiment, okay? So I just want you to quiz yourself for a minute and think, do these things apply to me? I have always loved God completely with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I have never had anything in the place of God in my life. I've never loved anything else except God. I've never misused God's name before. I always rest properly from my work like God asked me to do, have a Sabbath day. I always honour my mum and dad or my guardians completely. I've never murdered anyone or never even hated anyone in my heart. I've never committed adultery. I've never even had bad thoughts along those lines about other people. I've never stolen anything, not even a pen from school, or not even an illegal download. I've never lied, not even a small lie to protect someone. I've never wished I had something that belongs to someone else. Do those things apply to you as we go through that list? Well, I've met a number of you guys, not everyone, but all those who I've met are lovely people in this room. And as I look at you now, you guys look very kind and generous. Someone even gave up their seat for someone before, or came and moved so they could sit next to someone. And let's get this really straight, because God loves us. We are precious to God. God made us in his image. Humans are the most precious creatures on the planet. But that being said, I need to tell you the bad news, which is that all of us, ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, all of us have been under a curse because of our sin. The curse is sin and its results. And the results of sin are physical death, that one day we die in these bodies, and also spiritual death, that after we die, we face God as the judge for all eternity. That's the curse that we're under. Like Cameron said last week, all people are on the way to hell. Now, that's pretty full on to hear, but it's a bit like this. Let me illustrate it. You might know this place, Kurnell, down in Botany Bay. And if you go down to Kurnell, you can see across to La Perouse on the other side. Now, if you're standing there in Kurnell looking over to La Perouse, you can't get over by walking. You can't get over by jumping. You can't get over by swinging. You can't get over there. Now, I know that, as I've said that, someone's going to say, I reckon I could swim it, and I'm sure that some of you probably could swim that, but just for the purpose of my illustration, imagine that you're not a gifted swimmer. You can't get across that gap. That's too big for someone to get across. Unless someone was to fly you over in a helicopter, there's no way you can get over that gap. And there's a big gap for us when it comes to us and God because of our sin and because of the curse that we're under. We are stuck on this side and God is over there, and we can't get across that gap. The relationship is broken. Now, can you imagine living for eternity without God? Now in this life, no God, and in eternity, no God. That's a horrible thought to think about, but that's the situation for all people because of our sin and because of the curse for our sin. And so to live under the curse is a really, really awful experience. It's a really tragic experience, but that's the experience for every single person on this planet who's ever been born, who's ever lived. In America, you might be aware that in Texas, people can actually still be put to death for crimes. And so they wait on something called death row while they wait for the day that they will be executed by the electric chair or by lethal injection. And here are some of the words that people say before they die. They've put together a list of all the things that people say, their final statements on death row. And here's some of them. People say things like love, no, family, thanks, sorry, want, God, life, hope, forgive, Lord, peace. When you're standing and you're looking at the possibility of death, it's a really desperate situation. And the Bible actually says it's not just criminals who are standing there facing that. It's actually all of us are facing God as the judge because we haven't been able to live out his law. Now that's a really desperate situation to find ourselves in. Well, we need to see the second thing. That's the bad news that we've just seen, that we are all under this curse because of our sin. But the good news is this, that Jesus died to take our curse. In this series, we're thinking about trees. They're all connected by trees. So you might be thinking today, where's the tree for today? Last week, we thought about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Today, it's the cross. And another word for the cross in the Bible is a tree. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22, which Sarah read for us, we read this. It's part of Israel's law. If anyone is found guilty of an offence deserving the death penalty and is executed, and you hang his body on a tree, you are not to leave his corpse on the tree overnight, but are to bury him that day, for anyone hung on a tree is under God's curse. You must not defile the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. So when someone did something horrible in Israel, they could face the death penalty, and they could actually be hung up on a tree, which was a sign that they were under God's curse for breaking the law. And God says here, don't leave them on the tree overnight because I don't want the land to be spoiled and ruined and polluted. When we come to the New Testament, in Acts chapter 5, verse 30, Peter gives a speech and he actually calls the cross that Jesus died on a tree, using the same language from Deuteronomy. Peter says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree." So Jesus died on a tree. Now, this isn't news to anyone here, I don't think, because we know that Jesus died on a cross. If you've come to church probably even one time, you will know that Jesus died on a cross. But what does it mean? What does it really mean? Jesus was hung on a tree, but so what? Lots of people throughout the history of the world have been hung onto trees. So what is this? What's special about what Jesus did? Well, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul takes a quote from what we read in Deuteronomy and he applies it to Jesus and he says this. Read with me in the passage, Galatians 3:13, if you've got it there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, everyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. So if all of us are lawbreakers, if all of us are under this curse because of the way that we haven't been able to live the way God wants us to, then Jesus, he came and he swapped places with us. He hung up on the cross, taking God's curse on himself so that we could go free, so that we could be redeemed. That's what that word redeemed means. It means that we were under slavery and now we're free. Let me give you a real-life example of redemption from a movie which is actually based on real events. The movie's called 12 Years a Slave, and if you're under 15, don't watch it. But in this movie, we see a real-life example of redemption. This man, Solomon Northup, was an African-American man who was kidnapped in Washington, D.C. in 1841 and sold into slavery. And for 12 years, he did not see his wife or his children at all. He was forced to work as a slave. And eventually, Solomon is able to convince someone that he's not really a slave, that he's a free person. And a man named Mr. Parker finds proof of this, finds documentation, takes it to the sheriff, and they come and rescue Solomon. And they show the documents, and the slave owner has to let him go. Solomon is redeemed from slavery. On the cross, Jesus redeemed us. He bought us back. He paid the price. And what were the papers that Jesus showed for us? Well, he produced the paperwork of himself hanging on the cross for us. That's the paperwork. He said, "I've been cursed so that these people can go free." He said, "I went to the place of punishment on their behalf so now that they can come out and be saved." Now, this is so important to get right. A lot of people think Christianity is all about doing good stuff, being a nice person, making sure you keep yourself moral, more moral than other people. Sometimes people think it's about trying to prove themselves. At least I'm not like those other bad people out there. Sometimes people think, like I did growing up, that I have to prove myself to God by feeling really, really bad about all the stuff that I've done wrong. But the real story of Christianity is not those things. The real story is a man who was cursed so that we never need to be cursed. Someone who was cursed in our place so that we can go free. Now, I want to ask you this afternoon, have you actually understood that for yourself? Maybe you've heard that something like that lots of times before, but have you actually said to God, "I want Jesus to be the one who stands in for me, please. I want your forgiveness through what Jesus did in my place." And as I said, I'm going to offer a chance to pray that at the end in just a few moments' time. But let's recap. We've seen that we are cursed because we can't live out the law. We've seen that this means spiritual death and physical death for us. We've now seen that Jesus took that curse onto himself in our place. So what does this mean for us now? Well, the final thing is that it means we can reconnect with God. Remember the picture at the beginning? There's a big gap between us and God because we can't live out his way. And Jesus has closed that gap. He's been like a bridge across that gap. I love the final verse of Galatians chapter 3, verse 14 here. Just read that with me. I'll tell you why I love it, because it gives us the purpose. It starts with the purpose. And you know when you're in class and your teacher says, "The purpose of what we've been doing today is this," you know you have to listen because that's the bit that's going to be in the test. Well, it's kind of like that with this verse. You've got to listen to this bit so you can understand what this is all for. Okay? The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Let me read that sentence again. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Paul's saying, listen to this bit. This is really important. This is the purpose of everything. Saying the purpose of Jesus dying and taking the curse in our place was that God's promise to Abraham might come to us as well, who are Gentiles, which means non-Jewish people from the rest of the world. And what was God's promise to Abraham? Well, God promised to make him into a great nation, a nation that had a land, and a nation that was blessed to be a blessing to the world. And God says, this isn't just for the physical children of Abraham. This is for every single person on the planet through Jesus. So that we can come and be God's people through Jesus. That's the simple truth of what this is all about. That's why Jesus put himself in that place of curse for us on our behalf. So that all people, even Australian people, can come, trust Jesus, and become part of God's beloved people forever. And how does all this happen? Well, just look at the last part of the sentence there. It's through faith. Through faith. Now, faith is a funny word because we use it all the time, but sometimes we don't know what it means. Faith really just means trusting and believing. And we trust and believe things all the time about normal life. So, for example, all of us probably trust and believe that after the service tonight, we can safely walk outside. There's not going to be sulfur raining down from the sky. We'll be okay. And so most of us after tonight will walk outside without fear. We trust and believe that the youth leaders here tonight are good drivers, that they're safe drivers, that they're going to get you to the destination for dinner safely, and so we're going to be happy to jump in their cars and go there. We trust that food is good for us, and so we keep eating it each day. And most of us believe and trust that sleep is necessary for good health. And so most of us will go to bed at some point tonight and get some sleep. God wants us to trust and believe that Jesus is the one who took the curse for us and to live our lives in line with that trust. That's what God wants us to put our faith in. That truth. And it's pretty simple. We do this by praying to him and remaining confident throughout our lives that Jesus is the one who allows us to come and have a relationship with God and to receive God's Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives. That Jesus is the one who allows us to be forgiven by God, that curse will be put away, no longer a problem for us. Now, some of you have done this. That's really great. That's awesome. Keep going. Keep your confidence firmly placed in Jesus. You don't need anything extra. You're not missing out on anything extra. You just need Jesus at the cross. And just like you needed him when you started, you need him till the end. So keep yourself there. Keep trusting, looking to him. He gives you relationship with God. He gives you redemption. He allows you to be one of God's people. He gives you the Holy Spirit. So keep yourself trusting in him. Some of you, though, know that you really need to put your trust in Jesus. You haven't done that yet. You haven't taken that step, maybe. I'm not sure. There could be some people here in this room tonight for whom that's the case. And I want to encourage you tonight. Why not take that step even tonight? Some of you might be thinking, I need to sort out my life a bit more. I've got all these things that God wouldn't be happy with in my life. Some of you might be thinking, I need to just do some more good things before God will accept me. And that's not what it's about. God says the cross is enough. You need to come with your faith and put it in Jesus on the cross. And that as you do that, you'll be forever one of God's people, forgiven, no more curse. So I want to say, this will change your life for the rest of your life, if you were to pray this prayer and if you were to continue in this direction with Jesus as your Saviour and your King. But it's the best decision that you could ever make. You can bring all your sin, all your shortcomings to Jesus, and he will sort it out for you with God. Now, if any of us rely on our ability to live for God, we're going to fail. We're going to fall down because we can't do that. But if you rely on Jesus, you will certainly come to God. You will certainly be in loving relationship with God now, starting now, as you pray a prayer, committing yourself to him, and forever. It's a very big gap from Kurnell to La Perouse. You can't jump it, you can't swing across it, you can't walk across. And there's no way for humans to come to God except through Jesus at the cross. So I want to offer you that chance right now to put your faith in him. And if you think tonight this is something that I need to do and this is something I need to pray, then I want to invite you to do this. And then please go and speak to someone afterwards. Speak to your youth leader. And they can help you to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The prayer is this. Heavenly Father, I'm just going to read it and then we'll pray it together, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for making your plan with Jesus that he would come into our world and be cursed in my place. Please forgive me of all my sin. Please give me your Holy Spirit and help me to trust Jesus and live like Jesus. Amen. Now, if that's something you want to pray in your heart of hearts, you know tonight, you want to get right with God, then I'd invite you to pray this. We'll all bow our heads, we'll all close our eyes. And if you want to say these words, I'll leave a space after each line for you to echo this in your heart quietly before God, and he'll hear you and he'll receive you to be his child tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making your plan with Jesus that he would come into our world and be cursed in my place. Please forgive me of all my sin. Please give me your Holy Spirit and help me to trust Jesus and live like Jesus. Amen. Well, as I said, if you pray that tonight, please speak to someone. We want to rejoice with you if you've prayed that for the first time. And I want to assure you that if you have prayed that, then God has heard what you've said and he's received you to be his child now and for eternity through Jesus' work on the cross for you. And that's the best news ever. So please don't keep it to yourself. Make sure you tell someone tonight if it's the first time you prayed that.